Because it knows that if it does, it's got a problem. It can't afford, without raising your taxes even higher, to be able to afford your retirement. And we're going into from a baby boom into a retirement age. We're going to a very high percentage of people that are not having kids. You only got 1.8 kids now per family, which is down from 2.3. Which means people are going to live longer, and they're going to end up having less kids, and they're going to end up having more aged, and that means they're, if they don't have superannuation, don't have a savings program that gets them an average of $130,000 to $170,000 in liquid capital, plus a house of $170,000 or $200,000, whatever it is, to live an average or below average lifestyle. If you don't have savings in addition to that, what do you got? Mediocrity. Definitely not the lifestyle everybody said that they wanted. There has to be savings in addition to that. And the longer you wait, the longer you got to save. If you save right now, I believe, I don't know the exact figures, I have to get the calculator out, but if you saved at age 12, X number of dollars, a dollar a day, you end up at 60, I think, with $400,000. If you waited till 18 or 20, you got to save $5. If you waited to 30, you got to save some $50 or $25. And every year or decade you go and you wait before you start the savings program makes it almost impossible. You've got to save 108%. From age 50 to 60, you'd have to save 108% of your income per year in order to retire with that income. So the sooner you do it, the more your money is going to be working for you. My dad tried to get me to do that. I started my first company at age 9. Actually, I was doing work for my dad, shining shoes and clipping hedges and doing things when I was a kid. But I had my own landscaping company when I was 9. And my dad, smart as he was, charged me for every tool I used. I did a yard, mowed it, edged it, regular lot, $5, corner lot, $9. On the regular lot, I had to pay $25 for the rake, $25 for the broom, $25 for the this is rake and broom, and 50 cents for the edger, 50 cents for the mower. And I had to pay for the full amount of gas, plus a surcharge for him to go to get the gas. My dad made me pay him for the use of his equipment. And I went around and I did 5 to 7 lots a day. One day I collected $45 net after all my expenditures. Now, I hired some kids for an additional amount to do the mowing and to do the edging. So I went out and sold the lots to get them done. I got the kids in the neighborhood to do it, and I averaged $3.50 on an average per use. $3 to $3.50 per lot, and the big lots I ended up $4 to $5. So I was around getting the kids in the neighborhood to work. The parents liked me because I kept them out of trouble and got their kids out of their hair. I got them to work. I paid my dad for all the gasoline. I netted return. I was able to buy things for myself. So I was learning about business when I was a kid. But I also learned to save. I saved for my bicycle. I saved for my ball. I saved for my glove. I saved for my bat. I saved for all the equipment that I wanted. And eventually I saved to travel across the world. Even though I was panhandling on top of that for extra cash. Tax-free, panhandling. My dad was trying to tell me to save. Right from the beginning, save your money. He gave me a piggy bank when I was young enough to even know what a coin was. Save your money. I didn't really grasp the full understanding of what he was trying to say until I was nearly 30 years old, though. That's when I got into gear. That's when I said, all right, now I got the message. Let's go. I started studying it, started learning about it, started focusing on it, started planning it, started meeting with people, started doing what I'm trying to tell you to do. And then I had a few learnings, a few setbacks. A land deal one time. I saved money. I put $32,000 in this deal that they said they're going to be building right next to a racetrack outside of Houston. Because the people that were involved in that had a lot of wealth, I thought, man, I'm going to hang out with some of those wealthy guys. I'm going to do what they do. So instead of taking 10% of my portfolio and giving only 10%, which would have been wise, I put $32,000, which is a higher percentage of my portfolio at the time, and gave it to the racetrack guy. And it took them 2 extra years on the racetrack to get the racetrack. They got caught in bonds and political issues on the gambling. And as it turned out, I never got that money back. Now I learned a lesson. One, not to infatuate other people. Two, not to break a strategy. And don't try to get rich quick and get and methodically saved. So I went back to the basics and I went, learned a lesson. And I go, okay. And I started savings. And I was kind of ouched from that. And I said, okay, I'm going to save. And then all of a sudden, the 80s came along and I started saving. It was at a high interest rate. And I was starting to accumulate some money. And the 90s came along and I started getting really well. And then I got an internet company. I got involved in an internet company. I thought, all right, I can handle it. But I didn't give more than 10% of my income to this. I learned that by then. But still, I put quite a bit into that one investment. And that thing went skyrocketing, and I made a 45% return the first month, a 70-something percent in the second month, went up over 100-something percent in the third month, and this thing was jumping and skyrocketing, and I started thinking, fuck. Excuse the expression. That's what went through my mind. A future understanding of conscious knowledge. Then, guess what the stock market did around right before 2000? That stock went and I just watched it go down to 5 cents a share.